Thanks for tuning in. My name is Rechot and you're listening to The Best in Tech, the podcast where we talk only the best in, you guessed it, technology. Get comfy. This is going to be a great chat. Most of you listening will be familiar with Logitech, and I would even wager a bet that most of you have a mouse or even a keyboard lying around. My fix from Logitech has always been the speaker range, and undoubtedly they used to produce some of the best gaming speakers out there. I used to rock the Z5500s for a very long time, but unfortunately a Jozy Lightning Striker brought a quick end to those speakers. And unfortunately by that time I just couldn't get another set. I converted to the G51s, which I still use today, and they're still a great set of speakers. Now with me today is Joost Jetten from Logitech, and he's certainly no stranger to the world of technology. Having worked with major tech brands such as Sony, HP, Sony Ericsson and TomTom, I'm sure you've got some really interesting stories to tell, but let's get into it. Joost, how are you doing?
I'm 100%. I'm fine. Yeah, really great.
Great stuff. Really nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Nice to hear that Logitech is back in full swing again, and we'll touch a little bit on that just now. But can we start at the beginning? Tell us a little bit about you and how you've come to be at Logitech today in South Africa.
If we start with me, that has to be the sequence, but let maybe then have that out of the way because we want to talk about Logitech.
Yeah.
I've came to South Africa in 2006, fell in love with the country and the people, was employed by Sony Ericsson at that time, and had the lucky part to found and started the consumer business for TomTom in 2008. So we had a great ride from 2006 up until 2012. I stayed after the World Cup 2010 with the family in South Africa, then went back to the Netherlands, and still had the opportunity to come back up until 2012. Mm. And then, I did a couple of other roles. I worked for a major retailer in the Netherlands, MediaMarkt. So I found basically all the aspects of the business in consumer electronics or telco and all part of that. And then Logitech was already on a change after 2013, and they want to establish a further part of growth, and specifically in Africa. And they changed the organization, so the Dubai office, who was responsible for Sub-Saharan Africa, became only responsible for Middle East and North Africa, and they wanted to give the office here in Johannesburg a little bit more power and a little bit more opportunities to grow. And they found somebody, which was me, so I was available, and I always had the need or the urge to come back to Africa if possible.
Yeah.
And also to establish a little bit more into Sub-Saharan. And I joined Logitech 1.5 years ago. I moved over first by myself and been followed by the family just now.
So let's chat a little bit about the slowdown of Logitech. We spoke just before the show that I remember Logitech kind of just seemed to fade away around about 2010, 2011. And in 2013, we saw this kind of resurgence in the Logitech force. I think there was a logo rebrand at the time as well. What brought that on? I mean, the technology industry in the world has changed completely from the peripherals we used
100%,
to know.
100%. I think the basic change is that we got a new CEO. So he was appointed by the shareholders, by the board, Bracken Darrell. And Bracken had an experience in Procter & Gamble and also in Whirlpool, but more in Procter & Gamble. And he looked at the company and they gave him a role, and he said, you know, if we want to depend only on the business that we have been doing for many years, and founded in 1981, Logitech, so we were there when the first PC came out. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, we're not going to go the right way because technology is changing, people using the products is differently, and we have to get the company around. So he made he draws it every time we will meet him. He draws out, like, we have trees, we need plants, and we need seeds. Mm-hmm. And plants become trees and seeds become plants, and so you have to evaluate your company going forward. And some of them said, he said, the trees that we're now having are dead. And he said, I don't believe that, because we still can innovate in our keyboards, in our mice, in our audio, and in our webcams. And if we can continuously innovate in that and make it purpose, make it target that it is useful for the users of today with the tablets and the smartphones, then we still have a market that we can dominate, and at the same time we have to get new products or new brands into the market. And that was the philosophy that turned around. So of course a big restructuring in the company also, and then after that part we picked up the growth one of the biggest growth drivers became video collaboration, where we changed the whole way of working, where people normally go into a big meeting room where nobody knows how it works, but there's a big investment there. We just said, no, bring your products, or the products are there, and you just have to activate the cloud like Skype for Business or Zoom or all the other parts. So the video conferencing market we changed. It was a rapid growing market, profitable market for us. And at the same time, we innovated again in our categories. We looked very sharply. We took a very, very strong angle in gaming, so PC gaming, which we also had, of course, some legacy in. And next to that, we said, okay, we want to be in music. And we bought a company called Ultimate Ears. We bought Jaybird. And so we also have a music proposition. So we're playing now, and that was the turnaround in 2013 up until today, in much more categories. So the traditional category is about 55-60% of our business, and the rest is already coming out of new categories and new brands. That means that also the revival of the company in the way people want to, the clever people want to work for us in the engineering part.
Yeah,
you have to be attractive to them, because the big companies will absorb all these guys and girls. And if we are getting attractive for them, we also get the clever guys. And I think the turnaround, together with a big design focus, Alistair Curtis is our head designer. He still is. He came from Nokia in those days. Mm-hmm. Together with Brackendell, he brought a new design, a new way of targeting into our brand. And that is what you see. So if we are on the stock exchange, so we are publishing our numbers in the next month, but it really shows already that we're on a quite nice growth path.
Now, design. You mentioned this. Now, the design is a big element. We working. Everybody, every consumer now has access to technology that looks very, very sexy.
Yeah.
Smooth lines. You know, we being led by the likes of obviously Apple. You know, Samsung also has really good design with their products. That Logitech products has never really been outdated or old design.
No.
But how much of an impact did new design play to kind of work with the new products that you have to cater for? So you're producing peripherals for really sexy products, making your products look equally sexy or have their own identity, but you know they're able to fit in well.
The fundamental, and this is how we've been, I've been taught, and I also believe that very strongly, is that there has to be a very powerful idea behind the product. And we have examples of that where we said we have been in the presenter market for many, many years with two products, which is the R400 and R700. And those products were known by everybody when you do a presentation, but it's always with that laser light. Everybody who presented is always like, it is what it is. So when some of our engineers got together and saying, how can we revitalize and reinvent the category again, that there has to be a powerful idea that we have to get rid of the laser. But it also has to feel good. It has to be, your presenting is not easy for everybody, so you have to feel comfortable about it, and it has need to have some features and maybe some features going forward. And then we invented Spotlight. And then suddenly you turn the market completely around. So the powerful idea is stands there, and then you make it aesthetic, and then you make it going to be used by people, and that they want to use it, hold it in their hands, and saying, yeah, this feels quite comfortable.
It's intuitive to use. I think a lot of companies in the tech space now also, especially in the software space, you know, you have to produce software that is intuitive for users to use. You know, we're not talking about Windows 95 top Windows layouts where you need to be a bit of a tech to understand it.
Yeah, it has to work straight away, and it is how the, of course, the technology changed when and that is purely about the tablets and how that intuitive is came, and where kids are starting being much more clever than us.
Exactly. The user interface.
User interface. And that's what we said. And if you then take, and you want to capture a market, and you see more and more data is coming into the cloud. So we're saying what is in the cloud, we need to activate with great products. So music is in the cloud, video collaboration is in the cloud, all kind of gaming is in the cloud. So if everything is in the cloud, you just have to get the same great experience that you had when in 1981 we had the first mice and the first keyboard. Now, if you get that experience going forward, because the technology is so good that people don't have to buy a new notebook or new PC, they put everything in the cloud and it keeps the same speed. But you want to have that 4K webcam, so you add that onto it, and you want to have that same sound
audio
or better
experience,
audio experience.
Yeah.
So suddenly that market is coming back to us again. And if you then follow it, and you don't do it with old products, but with new products, you say, we have a keyboard that works with three devices. We have a mouse that works with three devices.
Yeah,
so you can every, and it doesn't worry about the operating system. Mm-hmm. If you want to move from Windows into Mac, no, the mice does that completely itself.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, most industries, you still, no matter what hardware you've got, I'm a designer and a developer in my other job, and having a mouse, you know, having a solid mouse experience, you know, I can't use my touchpad really to design unless I'm on the road. I need a mouse to really give me the accuracy. I'm a bit of a legacy user, but finding the right technology to work with your new technology has always been a trick. What about some of the mouse designs that you've seen coming out of Logitech that's really pushed the boundaries? I mean, my mouse that I use for my notebook is probably about 2 years old, and it works fine.
Yeah.
But the design on these new ones look pretty impressive. Can you tell us a little bit? I mean, you've got one on your desk. I got
MX Master 2 with me. What that does is that it
looks like out of Star Wars. it looks fantastic.
So it fits great into the hand, and that means that, you know, you're very comfortable. It works on every surface, so it works even on glass because we have improved.
That's something I always need because you can be working anywhere in a coffee shop and you need a table. You need a thing to be sensitive.
This is automatically adapting towards it. It's very fast. It's very accurate. And at the same time, with MX Master, you can work even with two PCs, and you can drag and drop from one element. So you're working in Excel, you copy paste from one Excel to the other, because you see much more also people in creative jobs have two PCs, and sometimes it is a Mac or both is a Mac, but you can both you use this and then you drop the software. We call it Flow,
nice.
So you can drop the software and you can drop you can just move quickly from one to the other with seamlessly. But you can also take copy and paste the PDF. You select it and then you drag it into the next computer.
So I presume that's obviously software that you install. That
yeah, you
really
just install, yeah, install it on both PCs, separate from each other, and it works fluently. So next to the aesthetic part that you hold in your hand, it works. It does much more than that cheap mouse that you have. The other trend is, of course, wireless.
Yeah.
So wireless needs to be at the same level as wired. Now, and that's, of course, a step that we also did take. We took the step into gaming because a gamer...
you can't miss with a lag.
Can't miss because if you miss, there's always the mistake of the mouse or the connectivity, not the gamer.
No, you can't rely on that. Yeah.
No, and then you work together on one the technology that we already had. We had to improve that, so call it Lightspeed, which we have now in our G series. Mm. First the mouse and now the keyboard, and then we developed that together with our team, which works, which is playing internationally. Mm. And if those teams win games and they use wireless, that's a fantastic.
Yeah. It's good real-world performance of what it can do. And if it stands up to a gamer's, I guess, gamer's high expectations of hardware, whether they bash it or whether it just needs to work, it'll get a suitable.
But it comes back to the whole thing about, you know, the world is wireless and you're moving into wireless. So that's the powerful idea sits in that part, but it has to work properly. Then you have an issue with charging. How do you charge it? So then we invented a mouse pad where you put the mouse up, a mouse on, and it charges it themselves. So
and
during
this,
the game...
This is this pad I'm seeing right behind me. Yeah, yes. It's just like a rubber mat.
Yeah. And you put the mouse on there and it charges automatically.
So you never need to recharge.
Never need to recharge. So it is always about that aesthetics. So it's about that idea that it should be behind and then rest will follow continuously. And if the idea is great, and of course not always all ideas are great, but if the idea is great and we can bring it to market and we have the opportunity also, we are just between... And that's also what our CEO said. We're always between a startup and a big company. Mm. We are a big company, and we employ 8,000 people. So it's not a small company, but it's compared to the Microsofts and the Apples of this world and the Samsungs, we are a small company. Mm. But if we can play a role in between there and just having products that really make your life great and have a better experience on those things, and we can make it quick because we have our own factory still. So we also have that possibility to have a great idea and to bring it fast to market, not to wait for if production comes available in the world. Mm-hmm. So these are all kind of things that coming from that company was founded in 1981, turning it around in 2013 into that level. And the other part was, to adding more brands. So we acquired three companies in the last 1.5 years. One in the sports side, which is Jaybird. One in the gaming side is SciTech, and the other one is Astro. So very, very strong brands already in specific parts of the market or in music or in gaming.
Mm. Now, SciTech's an interesting one. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, of course.
SciTech, was massive in the flight simulator. I mean, some of those peripherals are very highly sought after still today because they don't make it. And it's old. It feels like you're really flying a jumbo jet for the flight simulators.
Yeah.
What did you guys do with the technology? So you've got SciTech now.
Yeah.
What are some of the technologies or some of the products that we can find that's got SciTech inspiration?
The point is that we have two major products which was already there, and we will build on that further, which is the farm simulation product and the flight simulation product. So those are two angles that that we take as bringing it to market, and we are still early days also in South Africa for us as Logitech.
Have those been launched yet? Or
yes, we have been launching it a little bit by bit, and just to see and to test the waters how it will go. But I believe, especially for flight sim, I believe for both.
Oh, there's a very strong audience.
There's a very audience today, and we just need to find proper ways. And we're looking at what we do in Europe, and we can piggyback on parts of that. Sometimes we have to do our own things, but sometimes we can piggyback. What we see is that we now have in the race simulation where we had our steering wheels. So suddenly we have a portfolio of products which fits in that way where you activate the games and you work with the games much more on that side.
Yeah, you have purpose-built peripherals.
Yeah, purpose-built peripherals, and SciTech fits nicely in that. And that was also a great acquisition because now you're suddenly playing in the flight simulation, farm simulation, driving simulation. It's not called simulation, but it's the experience that you have when you're driving on Gran Turismo for the new game coming out. Yeah, that's one of the best experiences that we already had as Logitech. So we put that portfolio together. Suddenly we are having a great portfolio. Now, and then the discussion is, of course, on our side always, okay, do we keep SciTech as a brand or do we want to make it Logitech G? Because we have some legacy on part of the brands and some of the things, the brand is as strong. So keep the brand because it's much better for the brand to carry on and not become a Logitech branded product.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we're seeing is that Logitech becomes a little bit more of the Unilever and Procter & Gamble, so with different brands and different categories. All our new products which we're bringing out will be called Logi. So it's Logi by Logitech. So the technology will be more and more Logi.
Okay.
And then, then we have as a marketing team here locally for business development and marketing, we have a quite interesting challenge because all these brands need to be loaded.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And to be explained. But the product by itself and the purpose for the product are amazing, and the opportunities are amazing.
Yeah, no, look, Logitech's always been strong in that, and I'm sure you don't have too hard a time to really explain to people, the legacy, and especially in the controller market. I mean, those guys know the history there.
Yeah.
But like I said in my intro, audio has always been close to my heart, and I found the Logitech offering was strong. Really good bass performance. The high tones were really crisp and clear. And those speakers looked really good. The Z5500, in my opinion, is still one of my all-time favorite speakers. Where has that gone, and what do you have available now? Because I recently wanted to upgrade to something else. I just couldn't find a Logitech equivalent.
No, the highest level, what we did, we reintroduced the last year back in our speaker market because we have been also here in South Africa a little bit out. We had old models we still had.
It's a small desktop 2.1 touch.
So we revitalized that back into the Z series, so Z211, Z503, so those products. And that is covering basically the 5.1 and the 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that, when we introduced a Spotlight, an MX Master, we also said we need to have something for sound around that PC. So we just introduced, and it will become in South Africa when all the certification is done, etc., MX Sound. So that is a new designed speaker with the capabilities that you had from your old speakers, and revitalizing this is nice to put next to your Mac or next to your.
So let me just explain what you're referring to here. The MX Sound, and I've just got one in my hand. It's also the Logi branded.
Yeah.
This has got very much of a Bang on Olufsen feel to it. This material front, nice round, sleek design, and it got a little bass hole at the back that really works well with the aesthetics.
Yes.
The sound quality of this, I mean, the speakers, the surround capabilities, to make that full sound. What did you guys do with this technology or the speakers?
The only thing what I can comment on that front is that we having three brands that are doing audio, which is Jaybird, Ultimate Ears, and PC Audio. What I do know is that the engineers on that side working together more and more. So at the end of the day, we have different brands. At the beginning of the day, you want to have that powerful idea and a powerful sound, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take the Ultimate Ears Wonderboom, it has a very small product with an unbelievable sound. Same thing we put back into the MX sound. So mm-hmm. you make it smaller, but you don't want to lose on quality. Now, and that's, I can only say because I work for this company, it's a great sound and it's a great technology and it looks really, really nice.
Mm.
And the quality is great for an affordable price.
I'll certainly put that to the test. I'll request a review product.
Yeah, no, we want to test it because it's really the way we stepped up to the plate a little bit more with our MX series, where we said, you know, products like MX, products like Spotlight, like Craft, the keyboard specifically, which can help you be more effective. We need to bring those products also to South Africa. And it was a bit of genuine when you said South Africa was Logitech was disappearing a little bit.
Yeah.
We didn't brought anything new, and we didn't brought anything a little bit more expensive.
Mm.
Only was okay mainstream, and this is it. And
the entry level range is
then where you're fighting at. And I think we have products, and we have, if you go visit us on our international fairs like IFA or you go to the US, people always come back and have seen fantastic products.
Mm.
And I think it's our role and our duty to bring those products to the South African market and not wait another 6 or 7 months. The only issue that we have in this country is ICASA and LOA, because that takes a little bit longer than we want. But that's what we want to do. So we want to bring that brand out, more and more products. We change packaging, so the packaging is much more attractive. We have shelf plans for the retailers, online and offline. So we can help on all sides. We can help you.
I've certainly seen, from the products that I've seen, the boxing, you know, the look and feel, it's certainly a massive jump from the stuff that we've seen before,
yes,
while still keeping that same flavor. Now, the keyboards I've seen here behind me also look quite interesting. I mean, keyboards is something, you know, unless you've got a PC standing on your desk, you know, or you use one with your notebook in the office,
mm-hmm.
it must be quite a tough sell these days, you know. What can you tell me about the new range that you've got, and what appeals to your audience or an audience looking for a keyboard? Or maybe not even looking for one. They're just
the combination, and we call it combos of a keyboard and a mouse. So the mouse and the aesthetics are the same. So that's what we see is doing quite well in South Africa, where people buy a keyboard and mouse.
Yes.
So it's our MK series up to from 220.
That's especially handy for – I've got one that I use for my – I've got a TV that a PC is connected to.
Yeah.
So I only watch streaming services.
Yeah.
Having a mouse versus having that keyboard with a touchpad experience, and Logitech's got that model.
We got the K400.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an example of Logitech, I guess, having to adapt to an industry where technologies change. You know, people are sitting in front of their computers, in front of their TVs with a computer or with a computer keyboard, even with something like that.
Yeah, you're 100% right. We see that also when, and then coming back to the keyboards a little bit on, but we see it also in the gaming market, where, you know, you're playing against a guy or against a team, and you want to have more visibility of that team. So we suddenly start selling webcams, 4K webcams, on top of your PC, because most of the PCs don't have a 4K webcam.
Well, a lot of these guys stream to the likes of Twitch and even YouTube.
Correct.
And setting it up, I do it with the SLR, and it's a pain in the neck because you need specialized software, you need specialized hardware, and it can get quite expensive. With a webcam, it's a matter of plugging it in. It's a single kind of focal point. You know, you don't need to worry too much about...
It's even been used.
Color adjusting.
It's even been used in broadcasting, and to put it straight and make good, clear recordings and put it on Facebook.
Mm.
And then you got a 4K recording. So it also been used in different purposes. And on the keyboard, you're a set of K400 using the smart TV, because the smart TV is now your access to internet. So adding a webcam onto the smart TV is also another issue, another opportunity.
Yeah.
So you get a whole lot of different way of using your products, and then. Yeah, the other thing what we did it with the mice and also with the keyboard, that you can use the keyboard for three devices.
So you've mentioned this before. How does it work? Because you have a dongle that you plug
into
your
USB port, right? There's a little button, three buttons on the device, and then you just you have your little dongle and Bluetooth connection, and then it connects three devices.
So your keyboard then needs to be connected to three devices at one point, using either Bluetooth or the USB dongle.
Correct. And then you can switch from one to the other. You just push the button one or two or three, and then it switches to the one.
Can you use multiple dongles, or does it come with multiple USB dongles?
It comes with the USB dongles, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And the other part is that it works on all systems. So if you're working from Mac to Windows, it just moves automatically over. You don't have to change anything.
That is nice. That is nice. I need to look into that.
No, too. It has to be seamless. So if you have one, you don't have to put like software again into it, or you have to push another button. And it's like a great idea. I want one keyboard for multiple purposes.
Yeah.
No, what is the maximum what we can do is three. So let's do three. And you have three devices. So you have your laptop here, your PC here, and you got your smartphone or your tablet there.
I remember using an old KVM switch to just get that right. And it was a pain because you couldn't switch very effortlessly.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about, so audio, we can expect some really good audio from you guys.
PC audio, we've been that market. We've been it for many, many years. Oh. We revitalized the packaging, revitalized the product. Headphones, same story, which we revitalized also the packaging back.
And all of these things available in South Africa soon?
Yes, soon. And soon is a relative, because of the only thing what we have is regulations. Oh. This offer is capable of putting structure in place, putting the strategies in place where our partners, our distributors get the product in. There is no hesitation on that side. The only hesitation is that we want to be compliant, and we have to be compliant, and that means that the paperwork has to be right, and that takes a little bit of time. And that has not improved since I came in 2006,
that's
into the country.
A technology hurdle so many manufacturers have to deal with.
Yeah, but I think it's also a straightforward comment. It's not like, you know, people contact us and saying, I can buy the product from Amazon, then why can't I buy it locally? And then you also don't feel comfortable about that. You're saying, you know, yeah, we want to have it locally, but not everything is helping us.
And talk to us a little bit about distribution. I mean, I've seen the Logitech brand in a few smaller computer shops. Is there a bigger strategy for you guys to be pushed into more industries? Maybe even go online with other certain retailers or your own online presence?
No, I think the way we do it is with of course our partners first on distribution, and then we move into retail and e-tail. Our products find their way. Gamers find their products online because they are online. Oh. So they find their way, and they sometimes want to look and feel and test it. So you need to have a dual strategy on that. Some of our brands where we decided to have a bit more an online focus than traditionally maybe given. But you find us basically in all the retailers and e-tailers in South Africa for all our brands. And next to that, we have a very, very strong channel business, SME, small, medium enterprise, because these are the smaller companies or big resellers that sell our products into the big end users.
Yeah.
And specifically for video collaboration, that doesn't find her way properly into retail. It will, to a certain extent, but will never get the full momentum that you get with big reseller partners.
So let's talk a little bit about new trends and what Logitech sees as ever-evolving consumer digital market and how you guys adapt to producing the right peripherals for it. Now, your presenter is kind of alluding to that, changing up what's been an existing product for a long time.
Yes.
What are some of the new verticals or some of the new industries Logitech is seeing to be able to cater for? I mean, tablets, obviously. Is there VR aspirations?
That is only quoting my CEO or the team there saying, okay, what do we think about VR or AR?
AR, yeah.
And that's because we look into it. And I think from that perspective, to me, the whole strategy is based upon adjacencies to the PC or to other computer products. So what that will be in future, I don't really know. The thing is what we do see and what I also see is that most of the things are happening in the cloud. So whatever will be stored in the cloud, there needs to come to a sort of an activation. It needs to have an activation or an interface where we can play a role with the brand and the brands that we have. And that part, I think it will be a continuous development, because if you're starting to buy a flight simulation, a company that made flight simulation, farm simulation, you can also think a little bit further into VR into virtual reality. And I think that part where the gaming market is going, we will be playing a role in that, but at least step by step. Music is going to be more and more dominated in online.
And you guys already have a portable Bluetooth speakers.
Yes, we have a whole range. We have Ultimate Ears, which is a very, very strong brand. We just introduced Wonderboom as a specific product into the market. And that's really, really, really doing well. So we also in that market we playing a more and more a role. The numbers in Europe and US are amazing, and we can do better in South Africa, but we're getting there.
So what is next for Logitech in South Africa? We've spoken kind of about the direction, but when can end users really expect, I guess, when can we expect
I think and that was also partly one of the presentations I did to all our stakeholders last week. We are on a route already for the last 6 months. The thing is that we wanted to do it proper and then go out and tell everybody. And I think that is also why we talk today. There was no need for me to talk to you half a year or a year ago, because then you can only say, okay, what do you need to change, etc. We have now a clear view that all the innovations that will come out, and we will gonna innovate, and some things you can't talk about and some things that will be there, and we go forward, is that we will bring that now to the market, and it doesn't take any 6 or 9 months anymore to get that. Next thing is that we have the brands, Jaybird, Astro already are in the market, but also Ultimate Ears, that you will hear more from us, because we want to drive the marketing. We want to drive the marketing around that together with our partners. And then on the video collaboration, you will see a lot of things. We are participating on an AFRICOM in Cape Town in October, where we're going to show it to Africa, the possibilities. We're joining the team in Dubai on Jitex next week. So also our solutions there. And that's a video collaboration product is made for Africa, you know, with all the traffic, with all the costings.
So that seems to be quite a big focus
for It's an amazing focus for us. It's really we doing over 60-70% growth quarter on quarter. So it means that it finds their way in big corporates, but also in small corporates, in huddle rooms.
That's all driven by the need to share video.
Predominantly video. Because if you cooperate with a company, say overseas, on a project, like big corporate companies do, yeah, you want to have that same emotion and same feeling if you meet the person
by connecting.
And if you connect with a very very bad solution and you can't even see the presentation and it's not working, yeah, and then the collaboration doesn't work.
Yeah.
See, the collaboration works best when people go together in one room and they make something. If you have to collaborate with different teams over the world to make something which is for the world, yeah, then, and it will happen, and it will also open up a lot of business for South Africa and for Africa, because you have the quality on this side and the quality on that side. It means also that your quality of communication, your quality of output will become more and more.
Yeah, we can already see that with the fiber deployments we're seeing. It's absolutely incredible. And we often talk about on the Tech Central podcast.
Yeah, but you become also more, it's much more interesting also for businesses that you can do here, which can serve a global need. Eh? You can everything is almost digital. What you make, and it goes for broadcasting, it goes for production, all kind of stuff.
So let's take the conversation a little bit away from Logitech in closing this podcast. We're talking about the best in tech. What have you found in your life? I mean, I assume you're a bit of a techie, a bit of a geekhead. What has been the best in tech for you that you found, that stuff that you can't live without, or stuff that really has wowed you?
No, yeah, what really changed, I think, my life and my the way I looked at and how the market has changed is actually, again, the iPhone. When the iPhone came out, I worked at that time with Sony Ericsson, and we had the P series, which was the first sort of...
Loved that phone.
We all loved
the
it.
The iPhone killed it.
We all loved it. And I still remember somebody said, and they came into the office and said, now I think we have a problem with P series. And I was still in the old way of thinking. And I said, nah, because that product is amazing, what you could do with it. And then eventually I moved back to the Netherlands in 2012. And then, at TomTom at that time, we had a deal with Apple, so we started using the iPhone. And I started using the iPhone, and I thought, you know, and I also became then the Apple
into the environment, Apple,
into the Apple, into the and sucked into the Apple, which I never was. But I see how effective this you can be with the things that you can do, you know, of products that we have, like in Logitech, like Circle camera, security cameras. I've been a year in South Africa without my family, but I could speak to them if I wanted to on a daily basis and see them really in HD quality. So that whole technology changed, but the biggest change for me was definitely moving over to the iPhone and see all kind of possibilities that you have in communication.
So what iPhone are you currently using?
I'm at the 8, I think. No, 7. 7. 7. 7. 7.
Have you,
7,
yeah. You've seen the 8, the 8 Plus? I've seen the 10, the X? Yeah. What do you think? Are you going to upgrade? Are you?
It's going a bit too fast for me all the time, because the house is full of those products anymore. So I think you can also still use it. But It is the way Apple is doing it, and you know already over here.
So you don't
here.
Feel the need to kind
no,
of
No, I don't have that really need. It's more like when the upgrade comes through from a cellular operator, then we will move into it.
Yeah, that the upgrade.
But that part really changed the way of how you work, and that was more like the things that you can do, and then eventually, yeah, you can do much more from home. You don't have to go sit in traffic. And I think the whole change that we saw in Europe, that people are still, yeah, don't have to come to offices a lot. It's of course always needed for the whole bounding. But you can work from home. Video conferencing also opened my eyes. And when I joined Logitech, I had one physical interview and 8 via Zoom from everywhere in the world. So they're interviewing you for a job in South Africa from everywhere in the world. Which was to me like, okay, this is also happening now, and when we see the business growing and the way people are using it, it's changing into a collaborative world where digital is moving very, very fast, and we seem to be that we are on the right spot there, and that shows the numbers and it shows the way people like our product.
And it's a very exciting industry we're in at the moment. I think I feel lucky to be able to comment on the industry at the moment, because it's a great time to be alive in tech, I think.
And it's absolutely right, and it goes very fast. And the thing is, what the most changing part will be that the consumer is getting be much more in control. So that means that everybody who wants to deal with that consumer, and that what we all want, has to change, because the consumer has access to everything.
And they are very picky consumers.
And the infrastructure is not the let's say this way. Some of the infrastructure to get to the consumer is not longer the way that the consumer wants it. And I think there are big steps that Africa always can make, because we're jumping technologies most of the time.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But look, as long as you guys keep doing what you're doing and producing the products that we love to use, just thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the insights and a chat about the best in tech of Logitech technology. Cheers.